Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante. Siempre Pa'lante.
Hola, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Hirado Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guest is a badass body from the Boogie Down Bronx, a self-taught DJ who moves the crowd from El Corazon. Her relentless pursuit of perfecting her craft is the reason why she's one of the best to do it. A champion of the people, always moving forward, pa'lante como un elefante. From park jams to arenas, she brings that sofrito to every mix, leaving the people wanting more. Please welcome two-time DMC US champion, the queen of the ones and twos, DJ Pearly. For the millions of listeners around the world, who is DJ Pearly?
Amazing. All right, that's the whole interview. All right, good night, everybody. No, Pearly, who is Pearly? Well, I could say that I am, can I say badass? I don't know if I'm allowed to. Is that going to get bleeped? Okay, yeah, I'm a badass. There you go. Point blank, period. Every time I do like interviews, like, so describe yourself. And I say badass, they're like, oh, we have to cut that out because, you know, censorship. I'm like, oh, fine, I have to clean it up, whatever. I'm just me. I love music. I do what I love with all my heart. And I never do it for like fame and attention that unfortunately a lot of people get sidetracked on. So everything that I do from like my mixes to DJing and battles or whatever music related, it's always coming from the soul and it's always made with love. And I'm just like super grateful that the things I put out does get received back with love from the people that watch and enjoy my content and stuff like that. So that's me.
She just gave us that elevator pitch. Now we're going to get into the carne con papas, as I like to say. We're going to peel back the onion, get a little sofrito, sazón.
Let's go. Let's do this.
You talked a little bit about who you are, but there's more to you. There's a lot of influences that shaped you. What were some of the early influences that really made you go, wow, like, this is something I want to do. I love this. Let's go.
Oh, man. There's so many influences that has sparked my love for music, to be honest. So let's just start, like, with my love for music. As a kid, my mom always played music in the house. So it really started with my mom. So with her journey, she used to, of course, as a kid, buy records, play music in her house, my abuela and stuff like that. And then my abuelo used to play the guitar. Going back a little further from there, the story is that my abuela fell in love with my abuelo because not only he was dashing good looks, but he was like a smooth operator, quote unquote. He used to like to sing and play the guitar. And the story that I've heard is that back in the day, there was like these little recording studios in the record stores where you can go make your own one-off record and then give it to your family and friends as like a novelty thing. So he sang one of her favorite love songs and he signed it for her. And then as years went on, they had like a little fight and she threw out the record. She broke it. So I don't have that. And that hurts. So music was always in the family. And the cool part was that I've just found out, one of my tías told me that when my abuelo was a barber somewhere in Spanish Harlem during the 70s or 80s, that the Fania All-Stars would go to him to cut hair. So he used to cut Johnny Pacheco and all the greats' hair. And he didn't like a couple of the guys because they're like so picky about it. And he was like, oh, this guy again. So it was just really cool to hear like, oh my God, like I kind of have some sort of lineage and connection to the Fania All-Stars, and something I would have never thought a million years was actually going to happen. And then my mom, as she grew up, she got into a lot of music. She used to see Ray Barreto, La Lupe, Willy Colon, Hector Lovell, all the greats in Spanish Harlem, Marc Anthony, and so on and so forth. And she used to go to Studio 54. So music has always been a part of my family. And coming home from school as a kid, every day there was something new being played. From salsa to Elvis to Motown, Diana Ross, the Beatles, you name it, my mom would play it just because she loved music. So it's always been instilled in me. And of course, being in the city, you hear different genres at different blocks. You know, one block is playing hip hop because the guys are playing basketball and they got the boombox and Hot 97s blasting, or like the cars driving by and someone's playing like some real funky groove-ish. And you walk down another block and you look up at the apartment building and someone's cleaning their house because they're blasting salsa, you know? So it's everywhere. And then me being the kid that I was so curious about music and I had my own likes and my own tastes. I always be watching MTV when they actually played music videos before the whole reality nonsense. So I was pretty lucky and fortunate to catch TRL and watch reruns of Soul Train on PBS and get so curious about music and enjoy it. I would go outside, play with the kids, and then come inside the house, maybe play some video games, doodle or color. And then one of those things I'd be doing, music had to be in the background for sure. So, yeah.
These are the things that shape us in what we do today when we hear these stories, right? When we learn about our familia. You shared some instances, but what was there one specific that to this day you might be doing a set, practice, whatever it is, but there's a memory that really touches you and it reminds you, brings you back. And it's like, wow, I'm here thanks to my abuelitos or my mom or my family for this.
Oh my God, there's so many. I feel like the best one to really pull the heartstring of like, wow, I feel so grateful that I'm in music or I'm doing something with music, is definitely going to park jams and hearing songs that my mom used to play. If I'm at a park jam and I have my mom, you know, hey, come with me. Like, we're going to a jam, check out what's going on, like watch the B-boys and B-girls dance or like check out who's a DJ. I remember the DJ dropped this really, really dope song and my mom remembered it. It was Native New Yorker Odyssey. I'll never forget when she first heard the opening symphony and then like the whole chorus going into the first verse. She's like, oh my God, I remember that song. I used to dance the hustle to it. And just to see her reaction light up, like her whole face light up with joy and how she reacted in a positive way and how she can see how she's like having a little trip down memory lane. That makes me feel happy to be like, wow, I get to share that moment with my mom that she enjoyed that moment in her youth. And now she's sharing it with me at the park jam. And then I kind of take all that inspiration and put into my sets because that's what I want to do. I want to bring that feel good vibe to my sets or whatever it is that I'm doing, because I want that connection to have with the people like, hey, I want to make you all have a great time, have a great memory and take something with you when you leave the club or whatever. So that's like my inspiration. It's like if my mom had that moment with the DJ or hearing a song on the radio with Frankie Avalon, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. I want to like have that moment with the audience. Like, hey, I'm sharing this great song that I love. Maybe you might like it too. And let's have that nonverbal connection spiritually with the music and such. So, yeah.
Did you know, sabías que? DJ Pearly made history by becoming the first woman to win the annual DMC US DJ battle in 2017 and 2022. She's also a 5-time DMC World DJ Battle finalist. A stunning accomplishment from a woman DJ in a heavy male-dominated field. She's a current member of the world-famous DJ crew, the Heavy Hitters, and has been coined the Queen of the Ones and Twos by the legendary Bronx hip-hop pioneers Grandmaster Caz and Grandmaster Melly Mel. For more info, check out Mi Hermana at djpearlymusic.com. Now back to the show. You shared that specific song with mom. Is there a song now that growing up, it continues to bring you back?
Oh my God. I think there's several songs from when I used to just binge out and watch MTV that I think D-Light, Groove Is in the Heart. Anything D-Light, to be honest, because that was like my first greatest moment of like seeing these three people wearing these funky, fresh colors. It's like so hippie. And, but you know, it's the 90s. So anything went, it didn't care. No one cares. It's like whatever you're wearing, have fun with it. And then just like seeing D-Light, I think that to me is like the first time I saw a DJ scratch. DJ Tawate, when he did that chicka chicka soul, chicka soul, whatever it was. And I was just like, whatever, you know, like no big deal. And then I remember after that, that song kept playing over and over my head. Because it was just so damn catchy. And then now years later, people are using it in commercials. They're using it in their DJ set. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's like an oldie, but a goodie. Because it's just so damn good. It brings a lot of good vibes to a moment, for sure.
music is memories, and you remember certain pieces of your life through music. So like it takes you back. I think about my life and trajectory, like every time I hear a song, whether it's something from Wu-Tang, Tribe, Salsa, Merengue, Cumbia, whatever genre, I think of, where was I? It's amazing how powerful music is. And you talked about the 90s and the funky colors. You also reminded me of De La Soul.
Man, exactly. I was about to get to that. 3 Feet High and Rising was definitely the album with so much color. It was fun. That album is fun. It's totally different for what was going on back then in hip hop. I feel like in the 90s, it was like the beginning era of like gangster rap and the East Coast, West Coast type of thing. Like who has the better rap or was like the better music, the West or the East? It was kind of like getting in that way of like focusing on negativity, even though it was a way of expressing what's going on and how they felt at the time of what social issues was happening, you know, in the West and the East and all these things. But definitely De La Soul is the complete opposite. It's feel good music. It's like, yeah, we're aware of what's going on, but let's focus on the positive for now. Let's just have a good time and make you laugh with these skits and vibe out, basically. A lot of people don't understand how important that album is and how important De La is, because these guys truly not only transformed their sounds throughout the years, but they stayed together like brothers and they never broke up, which is remarkable. You hear a lot of artists and groups that are like, oh yeah, we're here together for a certain amount of period of time. And then something happens, unfortunately, which is kind of devastating to the fans and the community. And they go their separate ways and never reconnect ever again until decades after. So De La's definitely, I feel like they're Mount Rushmore of groups for sure in hip hop.
Rest in peace to Jagoy the Dove. To me, it broke my heart that it's like right before the catalog is going to get released. But I feel like it added a layer of appreciation always for people when they're here to give them their flowers. I want to give them their flowers now. And I feel that's very important. And it doesn't matter the age. I feel give the flowers and respect and homage to the person that's doing amazing things. That's important because you never know what that person is going through. I always feel like that little compliment could turn a person's day around completely.
Absolutely, yes. Even if it's like the smallest kind gesture can really change a person's day with an instant. It's a bittersweet moment for sure in the entire world to see like, yes, they won their catalog and they're celebrating with the releases of their songs and albums. At the same time, it's a lesson to everybody to appreciate who we have in our lives. It doesn't have to be a celebrity. It doesn't have to be some influencer online. It could also be somebody close to you, your friends, family, or an acquaintance or your coworkers. Just show appreciation and just be kind to each other, basically, and honor and enjoy the moment that you have with them, because life is short and can change within a blink of an eye. So it's a big lesson for everyone. I feel like it's a big lesson for those who don't take things kindly or just take things for granted. So it's kind of a wake up call for everybody, like, hey, let's appreciate everybody. Let's continue to celebrate the legacy as well, regardless if they're here or not. Like with Jay Dilla, for example, a lot of people are just amazed and still learning of how he flips songs because his mind was so creative and so powerful. And with the things that he was using, he was so limited. He didn't have the technology that we have now. Digital, you know, we could see the waveforms and all that stuff. Everything was just analog and he just had a picture where and when you were chopping a sample. And that's what he did. He just sat down, flipped the songs, used his imagination and creativity and shared it with the world. And unfortunately, he too, you know, was taken from us too soon. I feel like now that the love that his friends and family are saying, like, hey, let's continue to celebrate his legacy is a great example of showing everyone to do the same for your friends, even if they're still here or not. Continue to celebrate their legacy, regardless if they're successful or not. Everyone has success in their own way. You don't have to be like famous and have like a ton of followers. Success comes in different forms. Just being kind to someone makes your day, or just doing a kind gesture for somebody is success. So just be kind and don't take things for granted.
Big shout out to our ancestors, to those that have paved the way for us to be here. And to align us. That's what our spirit guides do. To bring something back, you said earlier about De La, how they made you feel, but I feel you pull a lot from that fun piece because your mixes are off the chain, but they make you feel like you got to get up and move and shake, like, let's go. There's an artist that you are a big fan of, and that's cool to be fans, right? Her name is Lady Gaga. I feel it's inevitable, like, you're going to meet.
I hope so. I've been telling the universe, listen, I've been manifesting for years. Help me out here.
What is it about Lady Gaga that you love?
Wow. She is top tier badass. So to me, Gaga is definitely a great example of not giving up on your dreams and staying true to yourself and believing yourself and not giving up and always putting the passion and love in what you do and seeing her journey throughout the years since day one. She started out, she was signed to a record label and then she got dropped. And then she had all these unfortunate things happen to her. And she still had a love and passion for her music and she never gave up on her dreams and how she wanted to be an actress and she wanted to make music and she wanted to change the world with fashion or her ideas and creativity. And to see her progress and continue to check off the list of dreams and goals, that was inspiring. And I never forget, I went to her concert years ago, her first sold out Madison Square Garden show, the Fame Monster Ball. And she was like covered in fake blood and there was smog everywhere and there's smoke. And she was just laying there on the floor. She was like, New York City. And she was like screaming at us. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Is this part of the show? And she was just like taking a break and talking to the fans. And she just gave this 5 to 10 minute speech of how she used to go to Madison Square Garden and she pointed to like where she used to sit. I was sitting way up there in the nosebleeds and I was the cheapest seat. And I used to dream and fantasize me being on this stage and here I am. And she just continued to give this beautiful speech of like never giving up on yourself. If you have friends or family that don't believe in you, don't listen to them, believe in you. And I remember forget the line she said, if no one believes in you, I believe in you. And at that moment, I was like, oh my God, does she not know? What? So it was just like something that I needed to hear from somebody because she was at that moment in the time where I was like in high school, I was really unsure about if I should continue with my music. Because I used to tell people, yeah, I'm a DJ, I love music and all that. And people were like, yeah, whatever. Like, no big deal. Like, we don't care. So that was kind of hurtful because I was kind of excited to share something cool with people. And then when it came to the time when college was coming around the corner, what do you want to do in college and stuff like that? I would tell my counselors and teachers, this is what I want to do. And they'll be like, oh, no, no, no. Why don't you be a lawyer, be a doctor? Yeah, that doesn't seem promising. And this was before like the whole EDM boom where everyone wanted to be a DJ and producer and stuff like that. So hearing Gaga telling not only myself, but thousands of fans to never give up on your dreams was something I needed to hear from somebody that I never got to hear from. So it was pretty unfortunate. So the teachers never really inspired me to go after my dreams. I mean, I know you're not supposed to worship a celebrity because it's unhealthy and such, but that moment, that was something real special. And she has been true to her word ever since. And every time she's in an interview, she's always telling her fans to never give up. Always believe in yourself, love yourself, just keep going. And she's just been like the best example. And I feel like more people need to talk about how positive she really is and a great influence to many and millions around the world, for sure.
You are doing it right now. You are taking those words and you've willed it into existence with all the accolades, all the achievements to date. And I know you're not done. There's more you're reaching for. You're not done. You're only getting started. But that's impactful. So now, you know, adversity is a big word that it hits us hard, but it's how you overcome. And so can you share a moment in your life that you had that and you broke through?
There's many moments in my life that I have overcame and still feel like I'm on that journey of overcoming many more things that are going to pop up in my journey. But I definitely remember early on when I started out, I took it to heart that no one understood what I wanted to do. Because I was a kid, you know, I was like 13, 14, something like that. Wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, the saying, like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to like make this as a career. And this was like way before the social media that we have now, like everyone's famous on TikTok and you can see people doing what you do or want to do. And you're like, yeah, I could do that too. So there wasn't a lot of outlets of, yeah, this is possible. I could totally do this. It was just pre the YouTube that we have now. So it was just very limited videos and everything was like in 280 or whatever. But my imagination was still there of like, I can totally do this. I can believe in myself. And I've heard no so many times from people. I've heard people say, oh, that's only for boys. And I've heard people say, oh, that's cool, but it's not a career. But meanwhile, I've seen DJs like A-Track winning his DMC titles and then creating a record label. And I've seen Mark Ronson produce an album and then be in the club and then be on a radio show with Aaron LeCrate. And then seeing Aaron LeCrate from Milk Crate Athletics and Milk Crate Records, DJing, having his own clothing line, being an entrepreneur, and just seeing how diverse and so creative that these DJs are not just DJs, they're artists, they're entrepreneurs, they're doing great things. They're branching out to different lanes of creativity with music. And I was like, I want to do that too. I want to do something, not just DJ, go home and then wake up DJ. I want to be creative. I want to have fun. I want to use my photography skills and make an album or whatever and incorporate that. So a lot of people never understood that. So it took me a while to understand, like, I have to get through that and get away from like the negative Nancy's and just go through and push forward. So then as I was 18, 19, I finally went to Scratch Academy after like 5 years of teaching myself almost everything. And that was like the complete opposite of what I was experiencing. The instructors and like the mentors were like, yeah, you could totally do everything what you just told us. It's possible. Nothing is off limits. You can do it. Just practice and never give up the faith. And then once they found out I wanted to do battling and give it a shot, they were like, whoa, that's so cool. Yeah, but practice first. You really need to practice. I'm like, okay, cool. So that was the extra step up from all the crap that I was going through and experiencing. And it was just that little pat on the shoulder, that little boost of like, yeah, you can do it. Just go for it. So then as I was in college, I was competing and everything like that. The biggest moment of my life where I had a lot of doubt and uncertainty was when I won my first US title in 2016. And then a couple hours later, it was like, oh no, sorry, it was a mistake. That really was a moment in my life where I had a lot of doubt and uncertainty. And all the things that the people have told me, like, no, it's not a career. You're not going to make it, started coming back. I'm like, oh God, what if they were right? What if they knew that it wasn't going to work out for me? And I told myself, no, they don't know. What do they know? That was years ago. Like, this is different. So it was just like a real hard time for me trying to find my grounding of like getting back into creating and staying focused. I will never forget. It was a moment where I was about to give up and say, forget it. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I never forget the moment where I just sat down and I was like meditating and I was like, I need an answer. What do I do? Crazy enough, Gaga somehow popped on my phone. I think it was a Spotify notification or something, something about her new album or whatever. And I was like, yeah, what will Gaga do in this moment? Would she give up? And I was like, no, she would never give up. I'm like, yeah, she's not going to give up, but I'm not going to give up either. So just had to give myself that pep talk. And of course, my mom was always by my side telling me, like, don't give up. You have to keep going. And she's like, palante como el elefante. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And she goes, if you don't like it, you know, swipe the haters. I don't give it them money. They don't pay my bill. Do they pay your bills? No. I'm like, no. So she was always been like that extra motivation. Like every time I would tell her in school, like, mom, these kids don't really understand. And she like, that's their problem, not yours. You keep practicing, you keep doing it. I'm like, okay. And then she'd be like, did Gaga give up? I'm like, no. Where? Then don't give up. I'm like, okay. So it was just trying to like never lose that faith. And as hard as it is when you love something so much and you just trip and fall for like a small little amount of time, it's hard to get back up. But once you have a good, positive group of people that believe in you, it helps the process of getting up and moving forward even easier. Like even if it's just your mom or even if it's just one person, that one little ounce of support really goes a long way. So anybody that has always given me a positive comment or a moment of support or whatever, like a kind gesture, that's always very helpful in the journey for sure in creating. So yeah, just getting up is not an easy thing, but you have to do it. So yeah.
That's powerful. I'm really inspired by hearing that. I have this saying, when somebody tells me no, I'm one step closer to getting to yes. That's just fuel to the fire.
I'm going to show you. It might take me a long time, but I'm going to show you.
Yeah, I'm going to show you how it's done. You had some other instances too, where you broke a finger. That was a whirlwind in itself. So no. Can you share a little bit about that?
That was a nightmare. Oh, God. You know, that moment really tested my determination for sure. Because me, naturally, I'm a competitive person. My whole life, I was always playing outside with the boys, and their sisters were always at the mall because, you know, let's go to the mall, whatever. So I was always hanging out with the boys and just playing, and we were always competitive, like, oh, you can't kick far enough or whatever. So that competitive drive and determination was always instilled in me. And when I broke my finger from a car door, out of all of the things, a damn car door, it was like an act of God. It was like, oh, the wind just came and just took my finger. And there's the car door. And now I'm in the hospital. It was crazy because, like, I'm in this moment of, like, I have to practice. I have this idea. I can't wait to work on this idea. And then this happens. Now you're in the waiting room 8 hours waiting for the doctor to tell you it's broken. That wasn't fun. So that moment was a huge, huge setback, but at the same time, a huge lesson of, okay, you have this one minor flaw. What you're going to do in this moment? Are you going to quit? Are you going to cry about it? Or are you just going to keep moving forward? And the crazy part was, is that I don't want to compare myself to Kobe, but there was a moment where I saw a picture of Kobe with a broken hand or a broken something on his hand. I think it was a finger. And he was in his pajamas and he was still practicing. And I was just like, holy crap, look at him. He has his pajamas and he has his jersey on and there's his hand bandaged up and he has a basketball on the other hand. He's trying to like work on his throws on his left hand or right hand or whatever. And I was like, yo, you know, if Kobe can do it, I can do it. So then all of a sudden, like there I am trying to find ways to practice. And it was like the worst thing ever because, man, I was trying to find ways to scratch. I put my elbow on the record and it was a bad idea because like now my finger's touching my shoulder and it's banging against my shoulder. And that was a pain and a half. So I was like, okay, I'll just find another method. So I'll do it this way. No, that didn't work. I try to find ways to practice and just try to have myself with music at whatever cost I put myself through. And unfortunately, me trying to practice and scratching, it kind of delayed my healing process. And the doctor's like, you're not healing in normal time. If you keep it up, whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to end up getting surgery and you don't want corrective surgery. I'm like, wait. Did you just say surgery? He goes, yeah, if you get corrective surgery, you're going to be out till like October. I'm like, I have a battle in August. Like, this is not good. He goes, what do you mean battle? Give him the whole explanation of what I'm doing. I'm a DJ. It's my hands and da, da, da. And he goes, why don't you just press a button? I'm like, bro, let's not go there. Like, he just gave me like this deadpan expression, just like, why don't you just press a button? I'm like, no. Do you not know who I am? So, you know, I was just like resting and practicing, and it wasn't healing. And then it got to a point where it was July going into August. And I was like, yo, doc, can I please just take this thing off and go to the battle and do what I have to do? And he was just like, all right, fine, just go ahead, but don't come back saying you're in pain. I'm like, I'll smack you with my brace, but I'm not that type. So then I was defending my title in Colorado and my finger was still broken. And that wasn't the most excruciating pain ever, but I just couldn't show it to people. I couldn't tell people like, hey, I broke my finger. I didn't want to get jinxed or I didn't want someone to bump into me and like try to make it worse. So I was like super down low, down key about it. And the crazy part was during that time before the battle, I was DJing at a little bar in like Beacon or something like that. And nobody knew I broke my finger. So I was just like, yeah, I'm cool. And then like when I go home, like, oh, excruciating pain. Like, so, you know, I just had to like fight through it, which was a bad thing because I wasn't healing. So me being stubborn and very determined, I had to like just work around it and be flexible and just find ways to just get through it. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't really worth it. you know, winning isn't everything, but my goal was to go back to London and hopefully get the world title. But in that moment, it was a huge lesson of health is first. If you have something that's bugging you and you need to rest, rest. If your body's telling you, you need to rest, are you too tired to do something? Just rest. Like, it's not worth it. I almost got corrective surgery. My finger was going to be crooked for life. And I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. But it was worth it though. So pros and cons to it. So yeah.
You made it through though. You persevered.
I don't know how.
Sometimes when we're going through these things, the mind just takes over and pain is irrelevant. Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias. There's a cool video that I love that you did. You were outside, and I had to bring this up.
In the snow.
In the snow. You know what I'm talking about. This is one of my favorite videos. Take me through that and like, how did it feel to finish it?
The idea was awesome, but doing it was a bad idea. This is how it started. I was laying on my floor and I was like, what if I go outside in this blizzard and scratch? That's exactly what happened. I was like, yo, all right. I was meditating. And I was like, oh, let me just relax for a bit on the floor. And I was just staring at my ceiling. And I was like, you know what? How cool would it be if I test myself and go outside and scratch in the snow? It's never been done. I'm going to go do that. And then like that day, I was like, all right, I'm going. And I was like, oh, wait, what's the temperature? Wind chill -2. Oh, God. Got to put another extra layer of socks. All right, I'm good. Like, I just took everything with me. I took my GoPro. I took my phone, of course. And I took my little PTO1 scratch and I went to this park and I made a path and like the table had like 10 inches of snow. And I had to dig out a little thing for myself. And I still couldn't see the portable because it just sat on top of the snow. It just went right inside. It just fell through. Of course, it's heavy. But I was like getting everything prepared and I turned around. I was like, wait, where'd it go? And I was like, oh, crap, it's in the snow. So then after everything was said and done, you know, prepping, I had like a towel and I was sitting on, everything was dying. So that was like 20 takes trying to get right. Had to go back in the car, warm up, recharge, go back outside, go back in the car, back outside, back in the car. And it was getting colder and colder and colder. And the sun was, of course, gone, but it was getting dark. And I was like, I have to get this right. And I just sat there for about like a good 10 minutes. And then at that 5-minute mark, my fingers were turning blue. And I was like, oh, this is not good. They were turning like this pink purple. And I was like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, it's cold. And somehow I didn't realize I was recording. And that wasn't supposed to be in the video. But it made it. And I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of catchy. So I was like, you know what? My pain is someone else's joy. And then somehow, like, I made it through. I recorded the video and my turntable was soaking wet. There was snow hitting me from all angles with the wind. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll edit the video later. Let me just let my stuff dry out. And then like a week later, I was going to use my portable. I think I almost short fused it because the elements and the snow and the rain and all that stuff, it just wasn't working as it was supposed to. So I was like, oh, crap, I ruined my PT. I was like, oh, it's fine. And then I started like entering the portable battles for the DMC. And it was just like, oh, I really messed it up. That's not good. I was like, well, no one's going to know the difference. And I was like, yeah, they will. And then I didn't know my iPhone will actually have like a freeze warning. You know, when it's like overheating and it's like that little thermometer is like excessive heat. This one actually said excessive cold. I'm like, really? This is new? I'm like, wow, this is cool, but really bad.
I don't see too many DJs doing that type of video.
Oh, that's nothing. I did it in the pool. I did it on the roof. Everything was floating away from me. I almost got electrocuted in the pool. I'm still here. But my personality is electrifying, so.
Hey, there you go.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is DJ Pearly, the two-time DMC USA champion and heavy hitter DJ. You're listening right here, right now. That's right. Right here, right now to Siempre Pa'lante podcast. And if you're not listening to Siempre Pa'lante, you got a problem. Because I don't know. I heard this is like the bomb diggity right now. So check out Siempre Pa'lante on all streaming platforms and you will not be disappointed. And I'll see you at the next event or battle. Peace.
Let's take it back. What does legacy mean to you? And what is your legacy?
I feel legacy means different for everyone. Everyone has their own perspective, their own definition, their own say of what legacy is. So to me, in my opinion, my words, legacy is timelessness because it's something that lives on forever. It's something that regardless of what it is or who it is or the element is, it's something that's going to live on forever and be talked about regardless if it's well-known or not. So to me, I don't know what my legacy would be or what it will become. But to be honest, I would just rather see my legacy be known as someone who never gave up, someone who was very determined and very fierce and always kept my eye on the prize and just never gave a damn of the haters, even though I'm aware of it. But I'm just like, nah, you know what? I don't see you doing anything great. Ho ho, mic drop. But yeah, to me, I feel like the legacy that I've created and will continue to create is just an example of someone who loves music and just has a passion for whatever it is that I'm doing and such. Everything is coming from the heart and soul and not from this idea of like instant fame.
Gracias, Pearly, for sharing your story. Your love and dedication to music continues to elevate you to new heights. Each time you bless the ones and twos, you create lasting memories for the masses. I can't wait to see what's next. Te deseo lo mejor y más. To all my listeners, take it a step further supporting the show. Rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. It goes a long way. Remember, you can find the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about DJ Pearly. A Pa'lante shout out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Keep tuning in and tell all your friends. Hasta la próxima. Pa'lante.